of Christ, a unity in the body of Christ. And as this little time that I have to share with us, please, if you have your Bible, ensure that you have your Bible with you. And if God has provided you with a jotter, you are the type that comes to church with a jotter, it will be very, very nice, because some of the Bible references that we will be looking into, I may not be able to go into them, but at home you could, lay hold on that by going through them again. Please be always encouraged to come to church with your Bible. I know we all have phones. We should not outgrow the Bible. I just want to beg us, please. I know, of course, we have phones in our Bibles. Bibles on our phones. But let us endeavor to come with this book. Somebody one day was carrying a Bible in the tram, and somebody saw him. Are you going to church? Yes, I am. Okay, I will come with you. Who knows? Thank God for those who have cars. But some of us that are still taking the public transport, someone might want to see you and come to church with you. It is wise for us to take our Bibles. Technology should never take the place of the Bible. It encourages us. I am not saying that you should not use a phone. Please don't get me wrong. But I'm just encouraging us to come. God may want to speak with you as to you on some areas or concerning some things that you may want to as well take note of. So that is just a little plea. By His grace, what I'm going to do, because this topic is a very, very big topic that is bigger than me, but I trust God that God will speak to me in a little way that He would do. And before I pray, I want to look at first the structure, what I have had to put together by His grace to see how the time will be well managed. We are going to look into, in the first place, of course, the book of Ephesians as our text. And secondly, we'll make references to some other scriptures or some other Bible verses that are related to what we are going to talk about. And thirdly, we are going to see we're talking about the unity in the body of Christ. And thirdly, we are going to look at the advantages or the blessings of being in unity, and as well, some of the disadvantages or the dangers of having a divide amongst us. And lastly, we are going to kind of do a reflection or the summary of what we are going to look into. And I will be needing the help of some people to read from the congregation. Please, as I call on you, I am just a small teacher. No, I like giving my student responsibility. Even though Anska is not my student, of course, I like pointing at some people that will help me out as you all have your Bible. But let us pray. Father, thank you this morning because you are going to speak through this mouth of clay. I have not come to prove a point, neither have I come to show my theological prowess, but I depend on your saving grace, hiding behind the cross of Calvary, that you will speak to us this morning, that our purpose for coming to church, Lord, will be a blessing. Thank you, God, because anyone in the church this morning that has not come to know Christ, that you will meet with such heart, that at the end of today's service, all glory will be yours. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Ruthie, if you'll be able to help us to read Ephesians chapter 4. That is our text today. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. Ephesians. Yeah. Okay.
Urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the Lord of the Spirit. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also had descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
Wow, thank you very, very much. I mean, that reference is so compact enough to pass a strong message to us. Before I go further to buttress more on this, I would like to kind of make reference for to other scriptures and come to this point where we are going to look at it together. Yes, we've been considering the book of Ephesians for some time now, and Paul was trying to tell the church at Ephesus, laying the foundation that now they've been Christians and they've been saved by grace and nothing more than grace. That is the foundation of their faith, by grace alone. That is why the need in chapter 4 for this fellowship, for this unity, was buttressed in the church, that they may know the essence for which they have come together. And if we take a very close look to Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, as part of the Bible verses that I will be making references to, we are familiar with the story of creation. And as you know, and God said, let there be, and there was. And God said, let there be, and there was. And when it came to verse 26, something happened there. And the Bible said, and God said, let us. It is not let me, let us. Whatsoever that has to do with humans, it has to do with us, not with me. Not with I, but other things. Not that God in his omnipotency can't make man in himself, by himself. We are meant to know that there are three that bear witness in heaven. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. He said, for these three are one, and they agree together. And let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. So when it comes to human being, when it comes to church, when it comes to the body of Christ, which is beyond IBC, the body of Christ, which is beyond the geographical equation like Germany, or let's say Europe, it is a matter of us, not me, not I. And let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. Just to kind of read some things that I wrote down here before we look into some further aspect of the importance of unity. And I hope by the time we share, everyone will ask himself or herself some questions this morning as far as this matter is concerned. Please bear with me as we continue. Christ is the reason why we are now adopted in the family of God through grace. His precious blood was spilled for our sins and our wrongs. He brought us into this love, that we may have one shepherd and one Lord over our lives, which is Jesus. The church of God is different in locations, and continents of the world. But it is built on the foundation of Jesus. He is the center of our unity, the captain of our salvation, and the head over the church. The body of Christ is beyond geographical location, just as I have said before. And through the blood of Jesus, the Jews, the Gentiles, the Greeks, Africans, Americans, Asians, Indians, everyone all over the world, we are brought under this covenant of Christ. We may be different by our backgrounds, may be different by our culture, but what brought us together is the blood of Jesus Christ. So regardless of our nationality, of our language, of our background, there is something that connects us together, which is Jesus and his blood. Unity is very, very important because in every home, the Bible says a home that is divided against itself can never stand. I mean, somebody once say that. No, it's not the Bible, sorry. A home that is divided against itself cannot stand. And even the Bible stated somewhere the importance of this unity. A house divided against itself can never stand. And what is the importance? What is the purpose of this unity? Is to glorify Christ and to be a blessing to ourselves. We are not gathered because we just want to gather on Sunday. We are not gathered because we have no place to go on Sunday. We are gathered because there is importance, there is a strength in two. Now let us look at Psalm 133. Psalm 133, I may just paraphrase by reading. The Bible said, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It likened it like the oil that flowed from the head of Aaron down to his skirt, and even to from his beard and even to his skirt. He said, I like the last part in that Psalm 133, verse 5, and verse 3. He said, even there the Lord commanded a blessing. When people are united, when people are one in Christ, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. I want us to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. And you're going to help us, Patrick, by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. We are looking at the power, the beauty, or this thing we call unity. And after that, we are going to look into our text, go to the book of Ephesians, and now try to take it verse by verse and to see how that affects our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Thank you very much. See, two are better than one because of what? They have a reward for their labor. For if one falls, the other picks him up. But he say, woe unto him that is alone. Woe unto him that is alone in the sense that a man or a woman that is independent and have nothing to do with any other person. Woe is he that is alone, because when he falls, no one will pick him up. And the last part he read, he said, a two-tree cord, they are not easily broken. What a strength we have in unity. We are going to look into what Paul was trying to say to the church at Ephesus as far as this matter is concerned. But just to kind of look into these diverse areas where unity is of great importance. Let me tell us something that I love watching. Maybe some of us, we love doing the same. It is wildlife. And in that wildlife, I love to watch how lions goes for it. It's, I know it's prayer. As strong as a lion is, I have never seen a lion hunt a buffalo alone. As strong as a lion is, it can't hunt alone. And as a social animal, one thing I discover about lion is this, they go in group. They go in group to attack their prey. And do you know the target of lion? They will look at maybe the newly born or the new calves amongst maybe the buffalo there, or if it is antelope, whatever animal they are hunting. And, wow, God so much blessed that animal. I don't know how they speak to themselves. A part will go this side, a part will go this side. So they will leave one at the middle that will run into the middle of the animals. So if the animal is, if some of the animals are running towards this direction, those that are on this side, they will catch. If it is this direction, those on this side, they will catch. As wise as they are, they don't go to hunt alone. So the question I want to ask this morning is, are you alone? Are you dwelling on your island alone? There is nobody that is an island. And as far as the body of Christ is concerned, the unity that we need, that is needed in our midst, is beyond coming to church on Sunday. So we need one another. We need ourselves. And how? Where? Fellowships, for example. Meeting ourselves in prayer meetings. Meeting ourselves in church like this is very, very strong because it strengthens us. Woe is he that is alone, the Bible says. And this unity starts from the whole. It starts with the individual in the whole. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world to die for every one of us. The work that he did on earth, he was not alone. He took 12 men along with him to accomplish the journey or the mission for which he came to the world. And I see the body of Christ, thank God for what Christ has come to do on earth. The body of Christ all over the world, we call on Jesus with different languages, looking at the truth of the scriptures in different perspective. But the more we get expanding, the more we get, divided. Haven't you seen sometimes, and I made mention of that in the fellowship we had yesterday, my African brother will leave Africa, will come to Europe, and will be looking for African church. And my dear European brothers and sisters as well, we go to any environment and they'll be looking for European church. Jesus did not come to die for African church. He never came to die for European church. He came to die for the body of Christ, that we fellowship with one another. So it is not African church we are building. It is not IBC church we are building. We are building the church of Jesus. I know, of course, sometimes people go there in order for them to feel at home, but it is beyond the cultural garden. The church is beyond culture. The church is beyond our tradition. It is the standard of the Bible, and that is why sometimes when we do not find the right group, we feel neglected and we stay apart from ourselves. It ought not to be. So unity is beyond location. It's beyond where I am coming from. It's all about Jesus. Because we need ourselves as far as this race is concerned. And Jesus has actually set the pace for us. Do you even belong to any fellowship in this church? You are growing alone? It is dangerous, I would say. Or you are too busy that you got no time to even fellowship with your brother and it is only Sunday pills. You can't grow like that. I have never seen that. It has never happened. Shortly, I will share my testimony. I will give my life to Christ and what happened thereafter. But let's quickly go to the book of Ephesians, where we'll be looking into this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you work worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I beseech you. Paul is saying, in a sense, I am begging you, my brother, the vocation you are called in this course or in this point, or at this point, is the vocation of being a Christian. There is nothing more than that. Work worthy of your call. The call of being a Christian. Being a Christian is a call. It's beyond gathering on Sunday. It is a call to fellowship. It is a call to walking with Christ. It is a salvation plan of Jesus that we have a fellowship with him first. That is why Paul was saying, I am begging you to walk worthy, because that is the foundation. If I know who I am, then I will know whom to fellowship with. My fellow brothers out there, my fellow sisters out there. I beseech you, as prisoner of Christ, walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you are called. You have been called into what? Salvation in Christ. That's the foundation. And I remember then, as I said, I was going to share my testimony. When I gave my life to Christ, 1998, that day was a peculiar day. I can't forget that day. I was so happy because I had this identity. I'm a Christian now. And I remember then, I could not eat. Not that I didn't feel like eating, but I just left the food because I just saw myself, so now you are a Christian. And on that day, I went to fellowship with other Christians and I identified myself as one of them. But the question I'm asking you today, is your work keeping you from fellowshipping with other brothers? How do you grow? And this is significant because we are living in a time where, you know, most people say, I can fix it. Don't worry, I can handle it. I will just handle it. I'm okay. No, we can't be okay without fellowshipping with one another. It is very, very important. Growth is, in this present time, indispensable. We can't do without it. As busy as we are, if we do not find time for God, it will be very difficult for God to reveal himself to us in some areas of our lives. And the little here, the little there, it makes it a whole. You as my brother, you as my sister, there is something, there is a deposit of God in you that I need to tap from. But if I see myself as the all-knowing and I don't need to associate myself with anybody, I will grow but a stunted growth. Because sometimes when we do not take a deeper reflection of the need for fellowship, this unity in the body of Christ, we will become a fastest runner among dwarfs. Whereas many are competing with us. In the spiritual perspective, the spiritual sense of it all. Growing with other brethren has a way to equip you for the race of eternity. Because this world is not our home. We have a place we are going, and we cannot afford to neglect the fellowship of ourselves. The truth that we need to tell ourselves. Sometimes it may be bitter, but we need to tell ourselves the truth, all for the sake of eternity. Verse 2 of the same chapter. How then do you need to walk in this vocation? He said, with lowliness, all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, considering the fact that we are different. Considering the fact that we need to strengthen each other, we need to hold each other's hand in this journey. And verse 3 said, endeavoring, that is on my part, endeavoring to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit, that is where it starts from. It starts from having this unity with the Spirit, the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then I fellowship with other brother who is in the same school, the same sister who is in the same school of the vocation of walking in the Spirit. That is all what Christianity is all about. Endeavoring, making effort on my part to ensure that by the grace of God, I walk in the vocation, working out my salvation. The Bible said with fear and trembling that I walk in this vocation wherein God has called me and endeavor to keep the bond, this bond, this unity, that which binds us together, the love of Christ, the unity that is among Christians, that I see on my part, that I say I'm going to cover for a brother. But I see that, in this part, I need to step in for a sister. This unity of the Spirit is very, very essential. And he went further to say, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, verse 5, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. It is one Father. We don't have two fathers. It is one God. That is why Paul was admonishing this church that this is what they should be focusing on. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit beyond the unity of the flesh as we gather like this. Being sensitive in the Spirit to know the need of a brother. Being sensitive by the grace of God to pray for a brother, even though he or she never asked you to pray for him or her, because we have ourselves in mind. Because it is not only me, myself, and I, but I'm thinking of my brother. I'm looking into his relationship, how God will help him. I'm looking into the life of my sister, how God will bless our home. And I'm looking into the life of the church, how together we will grow together as a body in Christ. And now, Paul, having laid this foundation of what they should do as far as walking worthy of this call, he said, do not dwell on that realm of salvation alone, as I see this part. And he now comes to verse 7. It seems as if there was an interjection there. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He said, now I know that you are making effort to walk. He's telling the church, now I know that you are endeavoring to keep the bond, the unity of the Spirit. But it's not only that you're just a Christian, you just walk to church and you just do everything. But now, let me tell you specifically, you have been given something. Nobody is empty. You have been given something. I have been given something. He said, hold on. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Wherefore, in verse 8, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now my question is, what gifts have you received from God? It is not enough to say I'm a Christian. My question to us is, what gift have you received from God? When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And now let us see what Paul was trying to say as far as this gift is concerned, to try to round up this teaching. Now he that ascended up on high, what it is he but that also descended first into the lower part of the earth. Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, he's told them that God gives gifts. It is not historical story that leaves us behind. Oh, that is what happened in that days. That is what happened in the generation of old. But it's looking unto us, unto whom the end of the world has come. Now, he gave gifts unto men. Is it the apostles? Is it the men of old? How does this relate to us in this present time? And it came in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. When we look at it, somebody called this a fivefold ministry. That is why I want to ask you, by the grace of God, I'm not asking for direct answer, to start asking yourself, ever since you became a Christian, where do you belong? The fivefold ministry. Apostles. Apostles, they have the quality of being a pastor and an evangelist at the same time, just like Paul the apostles. Fivefold ministry, the apostles, the evangelists, warning people, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Just like when you do someone like this, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. At hand. Repent. Now you see the longest hand, the prophets, they see ahead. And now, all that the evangelists have said, the soul that sinners shall die. Now, the pastor came in to say, well, what evangelist is trying to say is that God does not want you to go to hellfire. He interprets what the evangelist say. And the teacher tries to break it down to the best knowledge of the fact, let me say, the weakest among us in order for him or her to get a better understanding. Fivefold ministry. He gave them. Did he also give unto us, where do we belong? The fivefold ministry. He gave some. And why did he give them? And that is where we see the essence of unity. And that is where we see the importance of it, because not every one of us is going to be a pastor. That is why we keep fighting against ourselves. Not everybody is going to be a teacher, and not everybody is going to be a prophet. What has God given to me? I must discover it in God. Not that I feel well, I can do this. No, it's beyond that. It's sitting, Father, what have you given to me? Personally, by the grace of God, I know what God has given to me. And this comes, not only coming to know Christ, the more you fellowship with other brethren, the more you see your usefulness in the body of Christ, the more clarity you receive in this. Because coming as a Christian and sitting at the gate of salvation and crossing your leg, you are wasting a lot of time there. There are so many things God wants to use you for. Don't sit at the gate of salvation. There are more things to acquire in God. The Lord is good. The Lord is wonderful, yes. But what will he use your life and my life to accomplish? He gave some. Because he said, unto many of us is given what? A gift according to the measure of grace. So what do I know as a child of God that I have received? That is the question we need to ask ourselves all the time. Or else, we will keep running on the same direction. Everybody wants to be a teacher. Then we now start struggling on who has the best theology. Everybody wants to be what? I want to be a pastor. So these are the things that we need to see in ourselves. It will help us by the time we understand who we are. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why are these gifts so important? Now he went to the next verse to explain to us. One, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When? He said, till we all come to the unity of faith. A teacher does his part. Evangelist does his part. Pastor does his part. An apostle does his part. Because the work an apostle will do, a pastor will not do it. A prophet will not do it. Because it will be too much labor or load on him. Identifying these things will help us a long way to grow in the church, in the unity that Christ has earmarked. It is not a story of what happened in the past. It affects us now. Who am I as a Christian? What gifts has God given to me? That is a question we need to ask ourselves. And to just kind of put a tie to the message, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That means on every side we are balanced. Not that something new comes and we say, is it the latest in town? Or is it, should it be accepted? We know, because every side, there is a balancing. Because everyone knows what he or she has been given. What have you been given, my friends? What have you been given, my sister, my brother? Except you are not a Christian in this place. My question is, 20, 15 years ago, you gave your life to Christ. Is it that all that Christ has come to do in your life? I'm not saying God is calling you today to go to be a pastor or to be an evangelist. There are some people God has called them into the praying ministry. There are some people that are God has called them to be what? In the administrative ministry. All of this, it has to do with what God tells you, how you built your relationship with God over time, and it becomes clearer to you by the day. It's not that somebody look at you and say, oh, Gary, I know you'll be a good pastor. And you start doing what God has not called you. Time will tell. That is why you see some people, they say they are pastors. After some time, they say they get discouraged. They are not doing it anymore. It is not a call. It is a profession. God does not call a man, and the man knows truly that God has called him. And when the storm arises, and he said it's no more doing. It's just that he took that as a profession and not a call. So it's a clearing call to our heart to see, where do we belong in this body? Because if I do not know my part, I will not play it well, and it will be of no benefit to others. While I see an evangelist doing his work, because I do not know where I belong, I will start criticizing him. Look how he's shouting at people. Look how he's talking at people. He doesn't even know how to talk. He has no courtesy. He just speak and open his mouth anyhow. Because I do not know where I belong, I see a pastor trying to bring down the message to the understanding of the people. I say, what kind of a message is he preaching? That's not what is he saying? It is because such has not come to know the relevance of the fivefold ministry and how it applies to us in our daily life, especially in this last day church. And if I may just try to conclude now by reading some of this part. It said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. God wants us to grow in all things. So growth is indispensable. We cannot do without growth. A child that is born after 3 years, such child cannot crawl. We all know that it will be a great concern to the heart of the parents. And imagine you as a child of God. Ever since salvation, what has happened next? At the crawling level, or you are supposed to be running by now? Let us think about that. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply. Joint supply. Each joint supply. Each joint is supplying. Pastor is doing his own. Each joint is supplying something. Not that one joint know it all. Which joint are you? Are you here at the shoulder or are you here at the nail? You are both working for the effectiveness of the body. But now the first thing is, where do I belong? That's the first question we need to ask ourselves as we become, as we are now in the faith. Maybe these things, we may have overpassed them in the past, but it's a time for a rethink. Where do I belong in this body of Christ? How can I supply on my own part in order for me to be useful in his body? And there are some things I just stated there lastly. Just want to read from what God laid to my heart. As far as some of these, the advantages of, the beauty of uniting together as a church. Now, there is progress. When we are united together as a church, there is progress and growth in our midst. There will be progress, there will be growth. There will be a longing to see that the church of God is growing, not only in number, but in faith. It is not that one person will be thinking of growth, the other person will be saying, well, God will do it in his own time. Once there is unity, we'll pull resources together and we will work for the growth of the Church of Christ. And we know that in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, when Peter stood up to speak, we saw the effect. And the Bible says, for these ones, they went from house to house, breaking bread. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. That is a standard they've laid, and they continued indeed. They grew in that fashion. But if we have no standard, if we do not stand for something, we will fall for anything. There was something they stood for. The Bible says, and God increased them daily, such as were to be saved. Because they continued in that truth. That was the foundation. So once there is a unity amongst us, there will be what? Growth in our body. And once there is a unity amongst us as well, the presence of the Spirit and the power of God will be real. The presence of the Spirit of God will be real amongst us. It's not emotion. The Spirit of God is not emotion. It's not feeling. If it is there, it is there. We will know it. Once there is unity, that is what the power of unity can do. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5:5-11, the Bible says, talked about the priests, the Levites. When the singers together, they came, they sang, and they worshiped God with instruments. They worship the Lord. They worship the Lord. The Bible said, and the priest could not minister because the glory of the Lord filled the house. It talked about why they were united in worship. And last but not the least on the advantage, there will be the recognition of spiritual authority once there is unity amongst us. It's not, you see, you cannot have two bosses in a company. It's not possible. We will recognize the importance and the relevance of authority because we know what unity can do. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 7, we know that when there was a complaint from the Grecian woman that some people were not attended to, and the apostles say, look for men of honest report. He said, look for men that are filled with wisdom and the Holy Ghost. These apostles, they laid down the rule. They did not even say, we want to choose. He said, look among yourselves, men of honest report that are filled with wisdom and the Holy Ghost. Because no man can carry out spiritual responsibility with the arm of flesh. God is not looking for those that must do something by force. Christians must handle the things of God, or else it will not grow. It won't grow. Men of honest report, filled with the Holy Ghost. When there is no unity amongst us, these are the things that will happen. Those four things, or three if I may mention. We will not speak the same language. Everybody will be running different direction. We know what happened in the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. They had one purpose to do great things, but it was an evil intention in their heart. And God scattered them because they were united. But when God scattered their language, they could not continue in that project anymore because it was for a wrong purpose. When God unites us. And secondly, when we refuse to what? Identify our part. Bible says, Paul plants, Apollo waters, but God gives the increase. Anstar alone cannot do it all. Ruth alone cannot do it all. Neither Gary nor I. Everybody is a part and parcel in this thing. You are here seated in God. Will your talent, with your gifting and your call of God die with you? That is the question I want to ask you. Every part supplied on its own. So when we do not recognize what part we are or who I am, there will be no unity because I'll be struggling with someone else's identity. I'll be pursuing someone else's calling when it is not mine. That is what will happen when there is a disunity amongst us. And lastly, but not the least, when there is no unity amongst us, is when the fivefold ministry in any church is not at work or not identified. The fivefold ministry, where do you belong? Where do I belong? You may be in this church this morning, you may have been invited, or may have been a Christian, but it's as if your growth is like this today, like this tomorrow, Why don't you take a flashback and ask yourself, where am I coming from? Where I am and where am I going? What is my part in this larger body? Because the unity we are talking about is beyond IBC. If you live today, Germany, when you go to other parts of the world, how do you see yourself? Are you a low ranger, a lone ranger, or you belong to the body? Even in this church, do you belong to the body or you are just a passerby? Let them do their thing and I go my way. Ask yourself this, be sincere. You have not come to this church to serve Tony, because on that day, Tony will stand and give account of his life. So is it every one of us. But we are trying, I'm just trying to encourage us this morning that let us get a clearer picture of a bigger church beyond the walls of IBC. We are all relevant in God's calendar, and God is counting on you and I to make his kingdom to be seen by the kingdom of darkness, that they will know that there is a God indeed in our lives. And it's my prayer that as you go out this week, the Lord will help you to know who you are, that you will not just fall for anything. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you because there is no words that will be said enough. But we thank you because your spirit is sufficient for us, O God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have come to do for your church. And we are that church. Beyond our identities and beyond our knowledge, our background and languages that we speak, we are praying that you will unite us indeed in the spirit. That together as a church, we will serve you the way that you want. Give us the grace every day, Lord, to be our brother's keeper. And to look for the good of one another. Bless us, and may we be a blessing to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.